Chapter 26. Down Below. Matron Mother Jindia Malarn will win, so Sumptu Bayanri told her sister, Matron Mother Quenthal Bayanri, on the morning of the day when the ruling council was set to convene. A guess or a certainty? Gromf sees it, so Sumptu reported. He disabled the magical portals of Gontalgrim because he knows. The powers arrayed against King Brunner and Luskan are too formidable, and Matron Jindia is accompanied by a pair of handmaidens and a pair of retrievers. The matron mother sighed and nodded, those last tidbits already known to her. Matron Jindia will win. House Malarn will know all glory, and they will return here at the head of a demon army. You think she would dare threaten House Bayanri? Quenthal tried to speak confidently, tried to show incredulity at the mere mention of such a thing. She felt as if she had fallen short of that mark, though, and when she looked at Sosumtu, she saw that her sister shared her doubts. Sosumtu was one of the most powerful drow in Menzo Berenzon. She was the high priestess of the Fane of the Goddess, a public cathedral she had created that was exerting more and more influence among the commoners and lesser houses of the city. She remained the mistress of Arak Tinalith, the Drow Academy for Priestesses, and was still first priestess of House Bayanri, at least until Quenthal could finish grooming her daughter, Mirinel, to assume the position. And so Sumptu sat on the ruling council as the ninth seat, an unprecedented move by the matron mother to pack the council in her favor. I do not think that she will have to, so Sumptu replied. Her heroics on the surface and in Gontalgrim will move her house above all of our allies, and her obvious blessing by Lady Lolth may cause them to reconsider their alliances. The order in Menzo Berenzon will be shaken to its core, even more so because the heretics Drizzt and Zaknafane were allowed to walk free from your own dungeons. They were freed on the word of Ivanel, Matron Mother Quenthal reminded her. She regretted the words as soon as she had spoken them, for they made her seem small indeed, diminished. How could anyone walk free of the dungeons of House Bayanri without Quenthal's command after all? And where is she now? Sosumtu asked with a shrug. Hardly relevant. So what would you propose? Join in Matron Jindia's campaign, said Sosumtu. Matron Mother Bayanri felt very insignificant so suddenly. How quickly could the tides turn in the City of Spiders? Just a few months before, after the fall of Demogorgon at the city's gates, House Bayanri had seemed more secure than ever in its perch atop the hierarchy. House Malarn, ever a thorn, had been battered and moved down the ranks. Quenthal had orchestrated the ruling council to keep her closest allies in positions of great power, and had even reconstituted House Zor-Lauren under Matron Xirith, giving her an ally as powerful as the city's second house, Barriss and Del'Armgo, and Matron Mez Barriss perhaps her only true rival. Despite all of that, though, Matron Mother Quenthal Bayanri understood her vulnerability here. This great house, the ruling house of Menzo Berenzon for millennia, was in a dangerous generational transition now. All of Matron Mother Ivanel Bayanri's female children were gone except for Quenthal and Sosumtu. And of the two remaining sons of the great Ivanel, Gromf, though perhaps an ally, was no longer even of the city, and Jarlaxle hadn't ever really been a part of House Bayanri in the first place. When she looked across the room at the only other person present, Quenthal was reminded of this fact quite poignantly, for there stood Manolin Fay Bayanri, a weakling priestess who was only a member of this court because she had carried the child of Gromf. For several years now, Matron Mother Quenthal had known that she had to bide her time until the many promising young Bayanri nobles could more fully step into their roles. Thus she had weakened the Fayer's wrist to bring demon hordes into Menzo Berenzon, deflecting any potential power grabs by rival houses. Thus she had funded the Fane of the Goddess and elevated Sosumtu to a position of great power. Thus she had reconstructed House Doerden into a reincarnation of House Zor-Lauren, returning her most important ally, Matron Xirith, who hated Matron Mez Barriss profoundly. Would that rivalry even hold, though, if Jindia Malarn returned to Menzo Berenzon after such a tremendous victory on the surface, with the heretics given to Lolth, Gontalgrim conquered, after King Brunner had taken it from Zirasor Lauren, in the failed attempt by Matron Mother Quenthal to have the Zor-Lauren secure the complex for use as a satellite city to Menzo Baranzon, no less. And with a horde of demon allies? Should we summon Gromf? Sosumtu offered. No, the Matron Mother retorted without hesitation. If he has surrendered to Matron Jindia, then he cannot be trusted. Mistress Sosumtu nodded obediently, then, despite her legendary composure, winced noticeably when Quenthal added, "Not that I ever trusted our murderous brother anyway." Gromf, after all, had tried to assassinate Quenthal on more than one occasion, when their sister Triel had sat on the house throne as Matron Mother Bayenri. "No," Quenthal said again, nodding, for many things were becoming clear to her. "No, you," she said, motioning to Manolan Fay. "Go to House Barris and Dalarmgo and inform Matron Mez Barris that I would speak with her privately this day before the council sits." Sosumtu and Manolan Fay exchanged skeptical looks. "We will march," Matron Mother Quenthal told them. "We will all march." To Manolan Fay, she said bluntly, "Go!" And the woman scampered out of the room. "What are you thinking, Matron Mother?" Sosumtu dared to ask when the sisters were alone. "Long ago, our mother, the great Ivanel the Eternal, the first and greatest Matron Mother Bayenri, intervened in a relatively minor affair involving the attempted assassination of a weapon master of a relatively minor house by the matron of another supposedly minor house." Sosumtu showed no recollection. "You were not included in the discussion or the planning," Quenthal said to her. "It was all left to Gromf, Triel, and myself. The weapon master we saved was Zaknafane Doerden. The plotting assassin was no other than Matron Sules Armgo, mother of Matron Mez Barris." "I still do not understand." "A strange coincidence given where we are now, wouldn't you agree?" "You think it more than that?" Sosumtu replied, her doubts clear. "You think it all fated, all of it, with such foresight as to know that Zaknafane would sire the heretic Drizzt, that is—" "No," Matron Mother Quenthal interrupted. "But perhaps it was done with some knowledge that the spark resided in Zaknafane before Drizzt, perhaps." Sosumtu was shaking her head. "Matron Mother Ivanel's prayers to Lolth led us to that place that long ago night to interfere with the Armgo plans. I know this intimately." Sosumtu bowed her head respectfully, then, catching the reminder that Quenthal had been given the memories of Matron Mother Ivanel Bayenri, not told the memories or even shown the memories, and Illithid had imparted them into Quenthal's mind, and so they were her memories as surely as they had been Ivanel's. "Or perhaps it is merely coincidence," Matron Mother Quenthal admitted. "But still, to see where this has led us with Zaknafane and with Matron Mez Barris is quite remarkable." "We are neither a populous nation nor a large city," Sosumtu reminded her. "What may seem like coincidence may be no more than simple proximity." "You counsel wisely, as always," the Matron Mother said. "Still, here we are. We cannot allow Matron Jindia to win and return triumphant in unshared glory." "So House Bayenri will march?" "Menzo Baranzon will march," the Matron Mother corrected, "in all her power." The barbarian bit down on the cloth-wrapped strip of metal, making no sound but a growl as the dark elf priestess squeezed hard against the scarred line, balls of white pus popping forth between her pinching fingers. Wolfgar's shoulder, neck, and arm muscles corded and flexed to their limits. Dabney quickly cast a spell, sending purifying healing into the opened wound. And she backed up, one hand on Wolfgar's shoulder as she helped ease him forward so that he could properly vomit into the bucket she had put before him. For all his size and strength, Wolfgar suddenly seemed very frail, and his oily spit subsequent to his puking came with growls of complete frustration. "I am doing all that I can for you," Dabney snapped at him. He nodded, then vomited again. and only because Kimuriel ordered me to do so, she added. Wulfgar spent a moment composing himself, clearing his mouth and making sure that there was no more vomit on its way.
Just get me to the host tower, I beg, and to the portal, that I might rejoin my friends in Gontalgrim.
You cannot, Dabney told him. The door opened and Benny Iago entered the room.
The portals are closed, he said, and it was clear that he had been listening. He motioned to Dabney, who gladly took her leave.
Then Gromf will send me. He will not. It was he who closed the portals. He has declared the neutrality of the host tower in this fight. Then another wizard, Wulfgar said, with as much strength as he could muster. None will oblige you, Benny Iago told him. The host tower is neutral. Kimuriel, then!
Benny Iago shrugged.
Is there no way for me to get to Gontalgrim?
Another shrug from the drow who remained in his disguise as a red-haired human.
Can you even stand? He asked with a chuckle. Soon enough, Wulfgar promised.
Then you could go through the Underdark tunnels or overland, but either way, you would almost certainly be killed before you reached the Dwarven complex. And even if not, how would you get in? Gontalgrim is surrounded by an army of demons and hostile drow.
Kimuriel could get me in.
Benny Iago shrugged again, then stepped aside as Kimuriel walked through the door.
You are alive because of me, Kimuriel stated.
Wulfgar stared at him hard, but couldn't disagree.
I did not keep you alive because I care at all that you are alive, the drow added.
Jarl Axel told you to protect me.
Kimuriel snorted.
That matters not. You remain here now, and I have sent a priestess to tend you because I desire your assistance.
Then promise me that journey to Gontalgrim.
No, but you will help me.
Wulfgar narrowed his eyes even more.
I suspect that you wish to kill Brevendon Margaster and the demon that holds him, even more than I, Kimuriel said. That had Wulfgar leaning back and widening his eyes in surprise.
You are surrounded by powerful allies, powerful warriors.
I doubt any of them could deliver the physical blow I desire.
Wulfgar considered that for a moment, then nodded.
Lead on.
But Kimuriel was shaking his head.
There is much to settle about us in Luskin, he explained. When it settles, as I foresee, I will call upon you. Until then, heal. I doubt you will survive our attack.
That had Wulfgar looking back curiously.
The death of this demon leading the attack on Luskin will be worth your sacrifice should that come to pass, Kimuriel said. I am sure you agree with that.
After a moment of consideration, Wulfgar answered,
I do.
Ah, a true warrior, as I suspected. To die does not frighten you.
I have died before, Wulfgar interrupted.
Kimuriel looked at him in shock for just a moment, and Wulfgar smiled when he plowed ahead, for such a detail simply wasn't going to be important enough to the drow for him to bother asking for an elaboration.
Your honor is far more important, and losing that honor would be worse than death, Kimuriel said. So, I offer you the chance to strike a great blow for your friends in the south, and yes, for Jarl Axel and we drow who rule in Luskin, but at great risk. You have felt the bite of Brevendon's blade.
Give me one strike, Wulfgar replied. I will not miss him a second time.
It will not be on a ship that you stupidly sink beneath us, at least, Kimuriel said dryly as he walked out of the room.
Wulfgar sat alone, trying to find his center, trying to expel the fever, the pus, the pain. When the door opened yet again, he looked up to see Bonnie Charlie entering.
I will kill Brevendon Margaster and the red-skinned demon elf he harbors inside, Wulfgar told her determinedly,
before she could even begin to ask the many questions obviously stirring within her.
You seem certain, she replied.
Wulfgar nodded, and the motion induced another round of vomiting. She was in her own throne room, but Matron Mesbaris couldn't help but squirm a little at the array of power that had come in to see her,
after her refusal to meet the matron mother in her home ground of House Beanry. 5 matrons, Quenthel Beanry included, and their entourages of powerful drow priestesses, wizards, and warriors stood before her, or in Matron Zirv's or Lauren's case, sat before her on a floating and decorated magical disc, and in Matron Mother Beanry's case, sat upon an ornate purple and black throne, some portable seat more impressive than the throne of House Barriss and Dalarmgo. Ms. Barriss licked her lips, pondering the offer put before her. "If I die, someone will replace me," she told Matron Mother Beanry. "If I die, you know who will replace me," Quenthel replied. Ms. Barriss considered it for just a moment, glancing at Priestess Sosumtu, who stood resolutely beside her sister. But no, she realized, Sosumtu did not want the mantle of Matron Mother. "Evenel," Ms. Barriss answered, barely able to spit the name of Gromp's powerful and unusual daughter, a drow child still, but in the body of a young woman, and with the command, wisdom, intelligence, and experience of her namesake. "Evenel," the Matron Mother confirmed. "Is she even in Menzo Baranzon?" "She will be 1,000 times your nightmare," Quenthel continued, ignoring the question. "For she is staked in this, and will remember your refusal. She will not tolerate you, Matron Ms. Barriss, nor the continuing games of your house." "Are you threatening war, Matron Mother?" "Not I. I have no such desire. But I am certain of the path Matron Mother Evenel would pursue." Ms. Barriss glanced around at her house nobles. 1,000 times your nightmare," the Matron Mother reiterated. "And perhaps I have more to offer." Soon after, a vast army marched out of Menzo Baranzon, aided by magic to speed their way to the lower gates of Gontalgrim. Such an army had not marched from the Drow City in more than a century, the last march of the great Evenel the Eternal, Matron Mother Beanry, and her desire to conquer Mithril Hall. The Drow academies lay silent. The drow houses, noble and common, lay silent. The tunnels of the Underdark cleared before them, for none of the denizens of this dark place wanted to face the full power of Menzo Baranzon, dared.